From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. U.S. Senators Amy Klobuchar and Al Franken joined 15 of their colleagues Tuesday of this week, introducing legislation to encourage mining of critical minerals across the United States. The Minnesota Democrats joined senators on both sides of the aisle, all from mining states, on the bill called the Critical Minerals Policy Act of 2013. The Senate bill requires the Interior Secretary to maintain a list of 20 minerals and elements designated as critical to the nation. It would amend the National Materials and Minerals Policy Research and Development Act of 1980 to establish a method of tracking and forecasting the nation's critical mineral demand, supply, and other market dynamics. The bill would allow for informed actions to be taken to avoid supply shortages, mitigate price volatility, and prepare for demand growth and other market shifts. The 40-page bill stops short of identifying what specific critical minerals might be. Klobuchar said her support comes from doing what is best for the state and country regarding the mineral supply. The bill orders federal agencies to avoid duplicating regulatory actions, preventing unnecessary paperwork, and minimize unnecessary delays in mining projects, including exploration. Frank Ongaro, executive director of Mining Minnesota, a copper mining trade group, said Minnesota's fledgling copper-nickel mining industry could benefit from the Senate bill. Lori Andreessen, who leads the Sierra Club's mining program in Minnesota, said the bill could apply to copper-nickel mining projects such as those being considered in northeastern Minnesota. Enbridge Incorporated plans to file applications this week to build a $2.5 billion pipeline to carry oil from North Dakota across northern Minnesota to Wisconsin. But opponents, including farmers along the route, are organizing to fight it. The 610-mile Sandpiper line would carry more than 200,000 barrels per day from western North Dakota's Bakken fields to the company's terminal in Superior, Wisconsin. The company says its web of pipelines that transport Bakken oil is straining to keep up, so a new line is crucial. But organic farmers and other property owners in northeastern Minnesota's Carlton County say they worry the pipeline will destroy their land and way of life. The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission will spend a year weighing landowner concerns against the need for Sandpiper. Legislation passed last week in the U.S. House of Representatives would put the Great Lakes on an equal footing with other regions of the country in budgeting for dredging and other harbor maintenance. The measure to modernize the nation's water transportation infrastructure was approved by an overwhelming vote, 417-3. According to the Great Lakes Information Network, the Water Resources Reform and Development Act authorizes the Army Corps of Engineers to develop, maintain, and support the nation's waterways. The legislation, which now goes to a Senate conference committee, also would allow Congress to update harbor infrastructure policies to meet the changing demands of maritime economy. A key provision designates the vast Great Lakes navigation system of harbors and connecting waterways as a single unified entity for budgeting. Funding could then be allocated where it's needed. The current system forces harbors to compete for funding. The Great Lakes system is a continuous waterway extending more than 2,400 miles from the western tip of Lake Superior to the Gulf of St. Lawrence in Canada and the Atlantic Ocean. The U.S. portion consists of 140 harbors, 60 commercial and 80 recreational, plus operational locks between Lake Superior and the Lower Lakes, 104 miles of breakwaters and jetties, and more than 600 miles of maintained navigational channels. Federal scientists say they've found evidence for the first time that Asian carp have reproduced successfully within the Great Lakes watershed. U.S. Geological Survey experts report that 4 grass carp taken from the Sandusky River in Ohio originated there instead of being moved from elsewhere. The Sandusky is a tributary of Lake Erie. Grass carp are among several invasive species imported to the U.S. from Asia decades ago. Experts are more concerned about keeping bighead and silver carp out of the Great Lakes because they eat plankton that's crucial for other fish. But scientist Dwayne Chapman says bighead and silver carp have similar spawning requirements to grass carp. A hunting club that claims a new Upper Peninsula mine will spoil the environment has failed to persuade a federal appeals court to intervene. The court affirmed a 2012 decision by a federal judge who declined to issue an injunction against the Eagle Mine near Marquette. The Huron Mountain Club has been challenging the mine in state and federal courts. The club owns 19,000 acres, including land that comes within 3.3 miles of the mine. Some mining will take place under the Salmon Trout River and area wetlands. In a 3-0 decision Wednesday of this week, the appeals court turned aside the club's arguments that the nickel and copper mine needs federal permits. The government hasn't taken any enforcement action against the mine, which is not yet operating. Special Cook County Prosecutor Thomas B. Heffelfinger held a news conference in Grand Marais on the steps of the county courthouse. He announced that charges have been brought against Cook County Attorney Tim Scannell.
On October 21st, 2012, a special grand jury was convened in St. Louis County, Minnesota. On October 22nd, that grand jury returned an indictment against Mr. Scannell, charging him with 2 counts of criminal sexual conduct in the fourth degree. Criminal sexual contact with an individual who is over the age of 16 but under the age of 18 when the offender is more than 48 months older than the victim and in a position of authority over the victim.
Fourth degree criminal sexual conduct is typically brought when a young victim was vulnerable, unable, or did not consent to the alleged sexual contact. The charges involve aggravated contact, however, generally not physical harm. Minnesota statutes break criminal sexual conduct into 5 categories, with first degree the most severe and fifth degree the least. Heffelfinger explained that 2 counts were brought and that Scannell had already made his first court appearance.
The indictment alleges 2 separate counts of criminal sexual conduct in the fourth degree because it alleges criminal acts committed on 2 separate days in the month of August 2012. Mr. Scannell made his first appearance in Cook County District Court this morning before the Honorable Sean Florkey, who is the Chief Judge of the 6th Judicial District. Because of the state of Minnesota law, that appearance was a confidential closed appearance. Under Minnesota law, all matters occurring before the grand jury, including indictments that are returned by the grand jury, are confidential until after the offender has made his first appearance in court. Future court appearances will, of course, be public. At the first appearance, Mr. Scannell did appear. He was accompanied by attorney Richard Swanson, who is a Grand Marais lawyer. Mr. Swanson is representing Mr. Scannell, at least for purposes of today's hearing, and perhaps 1 or 2 more. Final representation has not been resolved. On behalf of Mr. Scannell, Mr. Swanson brought 2 motions at the first appearance. One was to dismiss the indictment, and the other was to remove all the judges of the 6th Judicial District from hearing this case in the future. Judge Florkey took both those motions under advisement and will render an opinion in the future.
After the morning court appearance, Scannell was released without bail on his own recognizance with several conditions. His next court appearance is scheduled for the morning of November 12th in Grand Marais, at which time a plea may be entered. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension conducted the investigation to determine whether criminal charges should be filed. Appearing with Heffelfinger was Sue Burgraff, special agent in charge of the Bemidji office, responsible for supervision of the Duluth agents who conducted the investigation. When asked what the indictment meant for Scannell's position in the county, Heffelfinger said that was out of his authority.
There are provisions in Minnesota law that deal with removal of county officials. And that is a matter that others will have to address. Certain offenses are unique to the grand jury, and the grand jury has primary jurisdiction over them. Offenses that allege misconduct by a public official are offenses for which grand juries should and generally are convened. That fits this case. In this matter, because of the small population of Cook County and the unique nature of the offense, I sought a special grand jury in St. Louis County to hear the matter. And that grand jury was drawn from the normal jury pool of St. Louis County. The law states that there are 23 members on a grand jury, and 12 of whom have to agree on an indictment. An indictment is the charge returned by the grand jury after it hears evidence.
Heffelfinger added that for the time being, or until a change of venue is sought and granted, further hearings will be held in Cook County, and he will act as prosecutor. He twice led the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota and was appointed as special prosecutor after six Minnesota county attorneys were contacted to review the investigation, and all of them declined. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.